Well, good morning or good afternoon. Welcome to Hoboken Grace. For those of you who are with us for the first time, I just want to echo what Justin said. We're super excited to have you with us. And there's all sorts of things that we're really excited about today, including the stories. One of the things that we used to do that we're going to begin to kind of move back towards here at Hoboken Grace is that every single Sunday, we're going to be working to be able to share with you someone's story and to be able share with you how God has been pursuing someone who's sitting right next to you here today. And I think for some of you, you've walked in here and you're still struggling through this idea of whether or not you can actually believe that God is pursuing you. And so what we want to do is we want to give you the chance to be able to see how that's happening in the lives of the people who are sitting right next to you. And so I'm really, really excited about that. And then also, as we come to today, we're kicking off this brand new conversation called Restoring Relationships. And from the very beginning, I want to make sure that we're on the same page. I want you to understand that what we're going to be walking through over the next 6 weeks is not how to be able to fix relationships once they've been broken, but how we can begin to restore the way that we approach, that we look at, that we move into, that we move through relationships so that we don't come to the point where they're broken. And this idea of learning, okay, how do we learn to love really, really well? And I don't know about you, but I want to love well. I think that it doesn't really matter who you are. I don't think it matters where you are in your journey. I don't think it matters today what you believe about God. I think that almost all of us want to love well. If not, I don't know what to say to you. We could talk afterwards, set up a counseling session, something like that. But I think most of us, we want to love well at some level. And I want to love well. I want to love my wife well. I want to love my kids well. I want to be able to love my coworkers well. I want to love you well. I want to love well. And I think, again, for all of us, we're kind of on this journey together. We want to love well. And so you sit here and maybe already there's a relationship coming to mind that you're like, man, I would really love to be able to figure out how I could love that person better, how I could care for that person better. Maybe it's your boyfriend, maybe it's your girlfriend, maybe you have kids and you're thinking the same thing. I am, man, I'd really like to be able to love them better. And you're thinking about your coworkers and you're like, man, I would like to be able to love some of them better. Just some of them, not all of them, just some of them I'd like to be able to love better. For others of you, it's sad, but I know it's true. You're sitting thinking about your dog. I'd love to be able to love better. It's just sad, but this is the way it is. We want to love better. All of us, I think, want to love better. And I find myself on this journey constantly in evaluating, okay, do I really love my wife the way that I could love my wife? Do I really love my kids the way that I could love them? And one of the things that I've realized is that if you are on this journey, if this is what you're trying to do, if this is the life you're trying to live, then one of the things you're going to find out very early on is that in order to love, it requires both time and energy. Kind of like a plant requires water and sunlight, love requires time and energy. And so if you're going to build a relationship with someone, you have to spend time with them. If you're going to build a relationship with someone, you have to, there's a certain amount of energy that's required in that. And you can try to get around it, but anytime I've tried to get around it, it's resulted in epic failure. And we try to do this sometimes in our lives in different relationships that we have. And so maybe you've heard the line before, it's not about quantity, it's about quality. And so that's basically my excuse for not being able to spend the time that I need to spend with this person. And so therefore, I'm going to try to make sure that I pour everything that I have into the very limited amount of time that we have. It's kind of like we're on a relationship on steroids. So we're just going as fast as we can in the time that we have and pushing as hard as we can in the time that we have. And that may work for a little while, but eventually it's going to leave you lacking. It's going to leave the relationship lacking. And we like to believe that we can do one without the other, but the truth is it requires both. I find this in my own life, and as I'm looking at loving my family, one of the things that I think I have done a pretty good job of is managing time to be able to make sure that I'm spending that time with them, that I'm that my kids know who I am, and that I have a great relationship with them. And I think I've done a good job of managing time. But what I've realized over the past few months and over the past year is that I'm not necessarily doing a great job of managing energy. And so I'm there, but I'm not really there. And I'm present, but my energy that I'm pouring into the relationship is lacking. And when you're trying to care for a four-year-old boy, you need a lot of energy, and you need to bring that energy to that moment. And then when you have kids, and some of you may be in that situation, you find that you spend all this time with your kids, and this energy you're expending with your kids, and you find yourself at the end of the night with your spouse, and you're there, and you have time together, but you have no energy. Or maybe you find yourself in that situation, and you're together at the end of the day, but all of your energy has been consumed by your job. All of your energy has been consumed by what's taken place in the day up to that point. And so you're together, but the relationship isn't thriving. The relationship isn't growing because although you have time, you don't have energy. It requires both. And if we're going to love well, we have to learn how to be able to interact with time and energy. And then for some of us, we think, well, you know, I'm just going to manipulate the situation. And we like to think that in some way, shape, or form, we can manufacture time and energy. And this is a lie that we interact with all the time. And so we create technologies to try to help us manage our time, thinking that in some way, shape, or form, this technology is going to finally be the technology that gives me more time. And so you went to the smartphone, and all your friends who had smartphones told you that it just helped them manage their time better and that they had so much more time. And then you got one, and you realized what the rest of us with smartphones realized, that it didn't help at all. And you still don't have time. And you might know kind of a little bit better how you're going to spend it, but you still are limited in time. And you may be able to find tools that will help you to manage it a little bit better, but you can't create it. You can't. You're limited in time. And then when it comes to energy, we try to do the same thing. We try to manufacture it. We try to, in some way, shape, or form, convince ourselves that we have more energy and that our energy is limitless as long as we have the right tools. You know what those tools are, right? In manufacturing energy, I drink one of them every week on stage. Coffee. Now, for some of you, coffee is nothing. It does nothing for you whatsoever. And there's all sorts of different ways that we do this. And so Snickers has an entire campaign about how to be able to find energy when you're grumpy and when you're not yourself, right? Great marketing campaign on how you can manufacture energy in the midst of that situation. How many of you are Snickers fans, right? Any Snickers fans out there? There you go. Cool. But for others of us, that's not enough. And so we turn to coffee, or if you're not a warm drink person, maybe you turn to Pepsi. How many of you use Pepsi or something like it to be able to manufacture energy throughout your day? There's like one person. You're on your own, right? So here, that's for you. I'm not going to throw that to you, but you can come up and get that at any point. For others, that's not enough. Like some of you are looking at that and you're like, that's like my bedtime drink right there. That's it. And so for you, you're more of a Red Bull person. And that, you know, that time of the day rolls around where all of a sudden your energy is starting to go down. You're like, okay, you can manufacture energy. It will give you wings, right? It will. You know it. I know it. It gives you wings. You can manufacture energy. How many of you love Red Bull? Wow, you guys are, I don't know. Maybe it's because you guys sleep in that you don't have to use these things. So the way you do it is that you sleep in, right? None of you, no Red Bull fans? There's got to be at least one Red Bull fan in here. Dan, I know you are. I think you got the one in the first service. All right, here you go. Here you go. Ready? Can you catch? It's hard because I can't really see with that light being there. For others of us, For others of us, Red Bull's not enough, so we go with the Monster energy drink. Any Monster fans in here? You guys are lying to each other. Like, right now, you are just like, everyone's like, oh, apparently it's not cool to raise your hand today, so I'm not going to do it. All right, right here. You can just come right up on, yeah, I'm not going to call you out. If you don't want to, you don't have to, but that's for you. And then for others of us, that doesn't even come close. And so we have this new thing. Well, it's not so new anymore, but this thing that we hear about. If you listen to the radio or you watch TV, it's like these guys have unlimited marketing dollars. 5-hour energy. And some of you look at it and you're just like, wow, that is great. I take that every 3 hours. And you're living off this stuff. And this idea that you can manufacture energy. Any 5-hour energy people out there? I know if you didn't raise your hand on the other ones, you're not going to raise your hand on this one. There's someone in the back there. So here, Dan, can you catch this and take it to the person in the back? Perfect. And you can just keep your hand up. That's expensive. You should have raised your hand. I couldn't believe how much money I had to pay for those stupid things. It's insane. And as you keep going, I mean, it doesn't even stop there. Today I walked into the place across the street, and I'm sure you guys have seen these before. I've never tried them before. Some of you have, but I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because you're obviously not going to raise it. But these pills that you take, right? So this one's called Swarm Extreme Energizer, right? I would give it out, but I think you probably would die. There's no way you can live and take those. That's not going to happen. We have this idea that we can manufacture energy. And that, you know, I'm not limited. I can keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going. But the studies show us that we don't actually manufacture energy, that it just allows us to be able to expend more energy here, leaving us with less later. And we would love to believe that we have all this time, that we can create time, that we can create energy, but we can't. And I think the biggest problem with that is that it actually requires time and energy to do something wonderful, to love. And so we're left in this situation where we want to love well, but yet at the same time, we're limited in our ability to do so. And sometimes the hardest thing for us is to come to the point where we accept that we're limited. But one of the things that I've found in my life is that it's not until I accept my limitations that I'm able to experience God's limitless power. And I found it to be true over and over and over again, and I believe it to be true here again as well, that it's not until I'm able to embrace and accept my limitations that I'm able to experience God's limited or unlimited power. And so as we begin this journey and we're looking at this idea of loving well, I want to start here, just simply acknowledging that we're limited. And I know for some of you this is going to be difficult, but I want you to say with me this simple phrase, I am limited. All right, on the count of three, I know it's going to be hard for you because you don't like to say this things like this, and there really is, for some of us, there really is this lie in our minds that we are not limited, that we can be whatever we want to be. We've been told this since we're this big, and inside of our school systems, we applaud this. You can be whatever you want to be. Impossible is nothing. Just do it. Can I tell you something? That's not true. It's not true. I love the story of the little girl who's in the kindergarten class and her teacher is saying to her what so many kindergarten teachers say, that listen, you can be whatever you want to be. If you work hard at it, you guys can become whatever you want to become. And this little girl got so excited. She was so excited. She's like, are you serious? Are you serious? And the teacher's like, yes, absolutely. You can be whatever you want to be. What do you want to be? And she said, I want to be a unicorn.
And the teacher said, maybe it's not true. But I don't believe that we can experience God's limitless power until we understand that it's okay that we're limited. He didn't create you with limitless power. He didn't create you with limitless time. He didn't create you with limitless energy. It's okay to be limited. And so I want you to say with me, I am limited. On the count of three, ready? One, two, three. I am limited. Now I want you to turn to the person on your right and tell them, I am limited. Now turn to the person on your left. Turn to the person on your left. I am limited. You know what? God created you limited. Your limitations are not a result of the fall. Your limitations are not a result of sin. You were created limited. And I believe over the next 6 weeks that God wants to be able to step into our limited ability to love and teach us how to be able to interact with, manage, and utilize the limited resources we have to love as best as we can, and then how to be able to allow His unlimited capacity to make up for where we are limited. I believe that's what He wants for you and for me. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at, okay, God, how do we love well? And for some of you, as you're interacting with this, you're still struggling through whether or not you can trust God, whether or not God is who He is. And maybe your friend invited you to be a part of this day today, and so you came along with them, but you don't know really what to believe about this. And for the next 6 weeks, you're just going to be introduced to some phenomenal principles that will just help you have better relationships. It doesn't really matter whether you believe that Jesus is God or whether you believe that you can trust Him with your entire life. I believe that as you look at how He lived and how He loved, that you can learn some phenomenal things that, if nothing else, will just help you to have better relationships. But then at the same time, I also think that for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, for those of us who've decided to trust Him to step into this relationship, that this is more than just a conversation on how our relationships can be better. This is more than just a self-help conversation or how we can come out of this with relationships that we enjoy more. I believe that this is a deeply, deeply spiritual conversation. And I want to take you to a passage. It's found in John chapter 13, when Jesus Christ is talking to His followers, and I think He calls us to this, and He speaks to the conversation that we're going to be having for the next few weeks, and helps us to be able to understand the significance of what it is that we're about to talk through. I want to take you to this passage. It's found in John chapter 13, and Jesus is talking to His disciples. He's just about to go to the cross to give His life for them, and as He is about to step into this, He shares with them something about what we're talking about for the next few weeks. I'm going to begin in verse 31. It says, as soon as Judas left the room, and I mean, it's literally right before Jesus is going to give His life. Judas is now leaving to go betray Christ so that He will eventually be put on the cross. It says, the time has come for the Son of Man, He's talking about Himself, to enter into His glory, and God will be glorified because of Him. And since God receives glory because of the Son, He will soon give glory to the Son. He's talking about what's going to happen on the cross and how Jesus is going to glorify God as He gives His life for you and for me, and then how God is going to glorify Him by raising Him from the dead. It says, dear children, I will be with you only a little longer. And as I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for Me, but you cannot come where I am going. He says, listen, I'm going to go away. So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other.
Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. He says, guys, come here. I'm about to go away. This thing is about to come, to fruition. Come here. I want to talk to you about what it is that I want you to do. I want you to love well. But not just that. Guys, I want you to understand something here. This is going to be the thing that sets you apart. You want to know what your defining characteristic is? I'm about to send you out on this mission. So listen up. Pay attention. I want you to know what your defining characteristic will be. It's your ability to love each other. Guys, listen to me. Your relationships will be the thing that sets you apart. This is our defining characteristic. This conversation that we're about to have about how to love well, it's about so much more than just how we can have a little bit better relationship at the end of the 6 weeks. Jesus says, no, this is going to be the thing that makes you different. It's not going to be how many times you go to church. It's not going to be how many verses you have memorized. It's not going to be this or that or the other. He says, the thing that's going to make you different, the thing that is going to be the one thing that people point to and say, oh, they must be followers of that Jesus guy. They must be disciples of that guy who gave his life. They must be with him. The thing that's going to associate you with him more than anything else is your relationships. Our ability to love well has unbelievable spiritual significance. And in my life, I find God calling me back to this verse. And really, this is John 13:35 is really my life verse. And he's calling me back to this and saying, Chris, do your relationships show the world that you're following me, that you're with me. And I've changed the terminology a little bit on this, because when I first began interacting with God about this, it was, okay, they'll know you by the way that you love. I've changed it to relationships, because one of the things that I found in my own life early on is that I would lie to myself about my ability to love. And so I would tell myself that I'm really good at loving. I'm just in really bad relationships because I'm in relationships with people who really don't know what they're doing. And I blame it on them, the fact that the relationships were bad. And then God began to really work on me and say, no, you're not very good at loving, and the result of it is the fact that you find yourself in these broken relationships. So this is going to be the thing that sets you apart. And so for those of us who've decided to become his disciples, to step into this relationship with him, what we're talking about over the next 6 weeks is our ability to be able to live out our defining characteristic. And so as God calls me back to this over and over again, I ask myself, okay, when I look at how I love my wife, do the people around me look at how I love my wife and say, man, wow, something different there. When the people around me look at how I love my kids, do they look at that and say, man, there's something, I don't know what it is, but there's something special there. When they look at how I love my family, when they look at how I love our church,
do they say? Man, you know what? He must be with that Jesus guy. Because I believe that that's what Jesus is calling us into. And so I want to ask you the same question. When you look at how you love your significant other, when you look at how you love your boyfriend or your girlfriend, when you look at how you love your friends, your coworkers, your neighbor, do people around you look at it and say, man, you know what? There's something different there. And I don't ask you that question so that we can look at the situation and say, oh man, I don't know if that's true. And I'll be honest. Oftentimes I look at my relationships and I think to myself, and I've said from the beginning of this conversation, this is not a conversation where I've walked through it and I'm like, man, you know what? I've really got this down. And so let's go, guys. This is a conversation where we're walking through this together. And oftentimes when God brings me back to this question, the truth is the answer is no. No. But I don't ask you this question so that we can feel bad about the fact that we're not there. Because here's the thing. Jesus is talking to his disciples here. And I think that that puts it in context for us. And so as he's talking to them, he understands that they're not there. He's been living with them for 3 years. These guys are completely relationally incompetent when it comes to their relationship with one another. And so you constantly see them fighting with one another and bickering and trying to one-up one another. He knows that they're not there. And as God comes to us in so many situations, as he's challenging us, he doesn't come to us and challenge us with this, okay, are you succeeding or failing? He comes to us and challenges us and says, okay, listen, this is what's possible if you'll allow me to lead you there. And so maybe the most important question this morning is not whether or not your relationships currently show that you're with Jesus Christ. Maybe the most important question is this. Do you want that? Do you want that? Do you want to be able to love in such a way that the people around you look at you and say, man, there's something different. Do you want to have relationships where the people around you look at what's happening and say, they must be with that Jesus guy? Maybe the most important question is not whether it is, but whether you want it. And for those of you who stepped in a relation with Jesus Christ, here's what I believe about you. I believe that the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. And I believe that Spirit leaps at the idea of living that kind of life. I believe there's something inside of us that is just overjoyed with the idea that we could live that way. And I don't believe that when Jesus Christ says this to his followers, he says it because he thinks that they have it all together or that they're going to be able to do it the next day. God never does that. As he comes to his followers, what he's saying to them is exactly what I believe he wants to say to us, and that is this: it is possible. Let me show you. Let me show you. And I love the line that he uses right before he shares with us that this is going to be our defining characteristic, because he understands something that if you've ever interacted with psychology before, you understand as well. And that is this: the relationships you currently have are a reflection of and are heavily influenced by the relationships that you have previously experienced. And so the relationships that you experienced growing up have a huge impact on the relationships that you have right now.
The way that you're going to love your kids is directly impacted to the way that your parents loved you. The way that you're loving your significant other is directly related to the way that you saw your parents love one another. And so for some of you, you've spent your whole life trying to figure out how to love well, because the truth is that you've never actually experienced someone loving you well. And you struggle to be able to figure out, well, how in the world would I love someone like this? Or how in the world would I react in this situation? Because you've never actually seen it demonstrated. Some of you are trying to break out of cycles in your family that have just been unbelievably destructive and abusive. And it's based on this truth that the relationships that you have experienced in the past will influence the relationships that you are currently in. And I think Jesus realizes this, which is why, as he says to them, listen, your defining characteristic is going to be your relationships. Right before that, what does he say? He says, listen, guys, I want you to love the way that I've loved you. And so he's inviting them into this. He says, listen, come into this relationship with me, because what I want to do in this relationship with you is that I want to love you well. I want to love you the way that love is supposed to work. I want to demonstrate for you what love is supposed to look like, so that the relationships that you have can be influenced by this relationship instead of the broken relationships in your past. And I don't believe it matters where you are on this journey. I don't believe it matters what you've done. I don't believe it matters what mistakes you've made. I believe the invitation of Jesus Christ to you today is this: come into this relationship with me and I will show you what it means to be loved well, because I love you. He says, and then you can begin to love out of this unbelievable foundation. And it's beautiful, because when God invites us into this relationship, it encompasses almost every area of our life. And so the scriptures tell us that one of the relationships that he's inviting us into is the relationship of friend. He wants to teach you what it means to love a friend well. It says we can be friends with God. Not only that, but we're also told that when we're adopted into God's family, that we become brothers and sisters with Christ. And he wants to teach us what it means to love family well. And then above all else, the relationship that we have with him is this relationship of a new father. And he wants to be able to teach us how to be loved by a father, and then how to be able to love that way as we interact with those around us. He says, guys, listen to me. The thing that sets you apart is going to be your relationships. And so I want you to step into this relationship with me, and I'm going to show you what it looks like to love well. I'm going to show you what it looks like to forgive. I'm going to show you what grace looks like. I'm going to show you what unconditional means. I'm going to show you what it means to celebrate someone that you're loving. I'm going to show you the fullness of what it means to be loved. And then out of that, you can begin to demonstrate that in all these other relationships. That can be the relationship upon which all of your relationships are built. The relationship that informs all of how you love well. This is about so much more than just how we can have a better relationship in 6 weeks. This is the very core, at the very core of what it means to follow Christ and what he wants to do in your life and my life. Now I understand, as we come to this and as we introduce this and the significance of this, there are two things that can happen. One is that we just become overwhelmed with it and we don't know what to do and we don't know where to start. And then two is that we kind of keep it outside of ourselves And so we talk about it in general terms, and we talk about it in theoretical terms outside of our current situation. And if either of those are true, then we're not going to be able to experience what God wants for us to experience in this. And so what I want to challenge you with as we begin this journey is I want to challenge you to identify one relationship that you're going to begin working on. Just one. Now, if you go into it saying, you know what, I'm going to apply the principles that we're going to talk about over the next 5 weeks, I'm going to apply those to all my relationships, you won't be able to do it. I'm telling you, you don't have that capacity. You are limited. So start with one person. Inside your program today, you received a connection card. Go ahead and open up that program, take that connection card out, and wave it at me, okay? I'll give you a moment. I'm not moving on. Go ahead, take it out and wave it at me. Perfect. There are like four connection cards. Take it out and wave it at me. On that connection card, there's a next step section. And there are three relationships in particular that are identified there. And if you've chosen one of those relationships, I encourage you to mark that off. Now, we couldn't list all of the relationships, so if you've chosen one that's not there, you don't have to write down the person's name, but if you would, just tell us, you know, I want to love my sister, I want to love my mother, I want to love my coworker, whatever it is, that you would just fill that in. Here's what I promise you. I promise you that if you will fill that out and you'll drop that off at the end of the service, that for the next 6 weeks, myself and several of the other members of our team will pray for you and that relationship every single week. This is unbelievably important. So we want to fight for you in that relationship in prayer. The disciples understood this, and one of the ways that you know that they understood how important this was is that when they write the scripture, so when you look at the scripture beyond the story of Jesus Christ's life, you see that there's a pattern to the way in which the books are written. And some of you, as you've begun to interact with God's word, as you're reading through God's word, maybe for the first time, or as you're reading through it over and over again, you've begun to understand or see this pattern. Almost every single book in the scriptures that is written after Jesus Christ has this pattern. It starts off and it says, this is what Jesus Christ has done for you. This is the relationship that you have with him. This is how he's demonstrating for you what love looks like, what love means, what forgiveness means. And then it comes to the end of the book, and every single book ends this way. So this is how you love your neighbor. This is how you love your husband. This is how you love your wife. This is how you love your master. This is how you love your kids. This is how it all starts with, okay, this is the relationship that Jesus Christ has invited you into. Now, this is how you demonstrate that in the other relationships in your life. It's unbelievably important. And I think it matters very little how you answer the question of whether your relationships currently reflect Christ to the world around you. But I think it matters unbelievably how you answer the question of whether you want it to be that way. This is the invitation of Jesus Christ. Come to me. I will show you what it means to love well, because I will first love you well. And then I'll show you how to be able to interact with your limitations, your frailty, and your brokenness, and through that, to love well. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray that as we identify these relationships that we're going to begin working on, as we look at the significance of what we're about to step into, as we look at how you've already in our lives demonstrated for us so much of what it means to love well, Father, I pray that we would just be filled with unbelievable hope that we would move into this conversation with unbelievable expectation. Of both what we will experience in our relationship with you and how that can begin to inform how we move through, interact with, and manage our unbelievably limited ability to love, to in some way, shape, or form even begin to become a shadow of what it looks like to love well. Father, you've called us to this. And you've demonstrated throughout history that what you call us to, you equip us for. We embrace our limited ability and we look to your limitless power. And our hope is found in you and your ability to, through us, use us to love well. In Jesus' name, amen.